now. Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to now.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Gentlemen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
And we thank you for sharing that with us.
With guest host, Susie Schuster, live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Why does everyone hate Jason Tatum?
Why does everybody from Boston think everybody hates me?
Everybody hates everybody.
And he is the most disrespected superstar.
Today's guests, radio and sports talk icon, Chris Mad Dog Russo. Senior NBA writer for The Ringer, Howard Beck, NFL Network reporter Stacey Dales, and now sitting in for Rich, it's Susie Schuster.
What an awesome Tuesday lineup, if I have to say so myself. Woo. Susie Schuster in for Rich Eisen. Rich taking a well-deserved day off. Missed a hole-in-one by this much yesterday. I have photographic evidence to show you at some point during this show. I have a lot to share with you today. I have to tell you why I'm such a great driver, but that is a whole different conversation. You'll have to stay put for all 3 hours of the Rich Eisen Show. And also, as I always say, the callers take precedent on the show when I am in the chair. Everybody who calls in to do win-loss is going to be heard. We did so many win-losses yesterday.
We did 10.
We are all so very bad at reading the laminated schedule.
We're
it
so
is
terrible.
So small.
All right, here's what we did. We did Bills, Dolphins, Steelers, okay, Cardinals, Lions, Texans, Jets, Vikings, Chargers, and Bears. And guess what? Everyone thinks their team is going to win 10 games.
I mean,
TJ, I want someone to come in and call us 844-204-RICH and be like, we're going 5-12. We suck.
By the way,
be realistic.
That's
people.
What I would say about the Patriots. If I were doing win loss,
if we win five games,
like,
it's
we're
a miracle.
In the toilet. What's the point? Somebody is so funny. Again, I rarely look at comments, but I did yesterday out of curiosity. And somebody said, Susie's beanerism is showing through about Boston. I'm like, what are you talking about? It's going to be awful. We're going to stink. We're lucky if we win 2 games. All right, people, 2. There's no homerism here. There's just anger and resentment. Hi, TJ. How are you? The candle is lit. Good morning.
I'm great. You know, what's funny about that, Chris, is like every year people want to act like Cowboy fans are so like ridiculous because they think their team's going to be good every year and we're not. And yet everyone who calls in thinks their team is going to be really good. So is it just us? Or is it you?
My man.
Is it
I mean,
you, America? I think it might be
He was so nice. Jason in New Mexico. He thinks the Vikings are going to go 11-6, and at one point they win 9 out of 10 games. Let me tell you what ain't happening.
But Cowboys fans are delusional. Yeah.
Let me tell you what ain't happening. The Vikings winning 9 out of 10 games next year.
No, but what's more likely? And again, I tend to forget what day it is. Wait, what day is it? Tuesday.
Thank you. It's Tuesday.
Hi, Mikey. What's more likely?
Hey, Susan.
The Vikings win that many games, or JJ McCarthy takes over week 2.
I think he said week 5, McCarthy.
And then week 2.
Then he said Cousins was getting benched after they beat the Falcons in like week 14 or something. I don't know.
Well, we have a great lineup,
great.
People, as I move on from
it.
That.
Call us. They're already lit. Adam sits back there, people. You know what I mean?
Oh, my God. I love this. This is so fun.
Thinking about Caleb Williams and how bad the Bulls are.
But, Susie, like, you can't say everyone who calls is getting through because we can't get everyone.
We only have 6 lines.
But yeah. We do. We are cycling through a lot of really great
calls.
We do
churn through.
May I tell you who will be on the show? Christopher Russo.
I know. So you should tell them.
Christopher, I'd like to talk to you because you are the color commentator of the Rich Eisen Show.
Here we go.
Christopher Russo joins us, and I bring him back just because, number one, he's great, and number two, my brother Scott loves listening to him. So half the time I book with my brother Scott in mind, three quarters of the time. Who are we kidding? So Christopher Russo will join us first. Howard Beck from The Ringer will be joining us as well. My old friend, he and I covered the Lakers, the Lake Show, when they were good back in the day together, which is really fun. So I love talking to him and Stacey Dales, because I think there's a funny comparison to be made with Caleb Williams and with a certain woman who is supposed to take over the WNBA for the Fever that are starting 0-4. So we'll talk Caitlin as well. There's a crazy comparison to be made there. Go with me for that, Kristen. I know you're looking at me like, well, your furrow in the brow is a little extreme.
I'm furrowing. I want to see where you're going, how you get there, how you connect the dots.
And if you're nice, I'll take you there with me.
Oh, thank you.
Because I'm an excellent driver.
Like BB and CeCe, I'll take you there.
That's the 20th time she said that.
Before we get to the fact that there is an NBA conference game to be played tonight with the Celtics and the Pacers, just to let you know what's been happening behind the scenes here. We've been here very early start today. Threatening to say that I'm a bad driver on the air. You think I'm a bad driver? Why? Because I drive with my foot up on the dashboard sometimes?
No. I don't think you're... I'm an aggressive driver. I've never driven with you. I imagine we probably drive very similarly, being from a certain part of the country.
Yeah.
I think you're a bad driver because you've said no less than 20 times in the last hour how great you are at it.
I'm a really great driver.
It's like when you see a movie and you're just sitting around and the trailers and the billboards and the stars are doing interviews everywhere. The movie stinks. If they're trying to hammer home, go see this movie, that means it's terrible.
Don't let the condition of my car affect what kind of driver you think I am.
When you're good, you tell people. When you're great, they tell you.
Interesting. Okay, fine. I'm still a great driver, but let's talk about basketball.
Mike, that's three already.
Yesterday, he wanted to talk about hair. Yesterday, he was like, I'm like, can we stop talking about all this girly stuff and like actually talk about basketball?
He's kind of obsessed
TJ,
with
let's
hair,
just, you know? Just ignore him, right? Speaking of hair, poor Rich. He's like, what are you doing to my show? In the third hour, we're going to look at some questionable hairdos coming out of the National Football League these days. Are they real or are they Maybelline?
This is Joe Burrow picture going around last night. We got to break this down.
We can't get to it now before basketball.
I still don't know.
It's fantastic.
It's not real. Come on.
And then I went down a rabbit hole of all sorts of crazy dudes in the NFL. So top of hour three, where are you going? If you're on Roku, just get a second cup of coffee. Stay with us for the entirety of the show. Radio, you're in the car. You're in traffic. You're working somewhere. Where you got to go? We got 3 hours of show
for
you.
We're playing win-loss, people.
Win-loss.
Call Adam. Let's go.
I'd like to flip my computer up to take a look and see what's going on.
844-204-RICH.
Do the Twitter thing. You can send something. And, you know, I'm not on social media. So, again, my hands are tied behind my back. God knows Rich would be scared to death if I actually had a Twitter account that I would use. That said, we will ask Christopher Russo right off the bat when he joins us at 9:20. If Jason Tatum is the most under-respected superstar there is, because that's what's on Chris Brockman's mind as we look ahead to this first game tonight, 5 o'clock Pacific, 8 o'clock Eastern, which is just too late.
It's too late for the East Coast.
Too late for the East Coast. Like, I love it out here. Anybody who comes out here is so excited to watch a game because it's early. But 8 o'clock on the East Coast, I know that my family will be at that game, God knows, but... You know, Kristaps Porzingis going to miss the first two games. Pacers looking hot. Yeah. Tyrese Haliburton coming off that game with a choke jersey, with the choke sweatshirt. Who's got the momentum? We'll ask a couple of guys coming up on the show.
I'm excited, TJ, because we're going to have a new champ. That's always exciting,
right?
When there's no repeat champ. It's also guys that haven't won in a while. Timberwolves have never won.
Ever.
Pacers, I don't think, have ever won. The Mavericks last won with Dirk.
Yeah, that was
over 10 years ago, right? And the Celtics, it's been 15, 16 years since they've won a championship. And we got all these young superstars kind of gunning for their first title. Talk about Tatum and Haliburton and Luka. Kyrie hasn't won since 2016. Who am I missing? Oh, of course, Anthony Edwards, the man that's taken over the playoffs, and Kat. I'm really excited. I think it's going to be a really fun conference championship on both sides. Wolves are slightly favored in the West. Celtics, massive favorites in the East. Can they finally get it done? I'm super jacked up. They're going to do something stupid. They're going to give away a game or two. I expect them to reach the finals. And then who comes out of the West? That's going to be the great question. It's going to be great. It's going to be great fun 2 weeks.
By the way, I expect that to go seven. I really do. I think it's going to go seven.
Pacers-Celtics or T-Wolves?
I think Pacers-Celtics go seven. You know, I was reading that. Harold Bryant from ESPN had a good line. He mentioned, they've backed up a dominant 64-win season with a trip to the Eastern Conference Finals for the third straight year, something Boston hadn't done since Larry Bird, Robert Parrish, and Kevin McHale did it 5 years in a row. That's my Celtics childhood right there.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, so I still I looked at those numbers and I thought, God, I feel like the Celtics are in the news every year, but it's just been so long. And it feels like they're always right there. They're always right there. Well, ask Christopher Russo whether Jason Tatum is the most under-respected or unrespected.
Disrespected.
I mean, Ivy League degree is really coming in handy this morning.
Good job.
Disrespected player of recent history. What are your thoughts, TJ?
Well, I mean, more so, Brockman knows I can't talk about Tatum. I have this thing because the Sixers had the first pick his year he was coming out. We traded the pick to Boston. We traded our pick to Boston. We took Markelle Fultz with number one. Tatum goes three. I said at the time that was a mistake that's going to haunt the Sixers for the next two, 3 decades, and it's proven to be right. So I just every time I see Jason Tatum do something, it just hurts my soul. But I got to ask you guys, as Celtics fans, this. Celtics have pretty much been on cruise control for the better part of this season, right? You jumped out. You had a huge lead. You've won both of your series 4-1. So the question is, like, when was the last time the Celtics really had any pressure on them to win a game?
They haven't really played a meet. I mean, obviously the playoff games were meaningful,
but you know what I'm saying? Like, you had such a big lead.
I mean, the last month, 6 weeks of the regular season,
you guys were like playing around with lineups,
super coasting.
You've been just crushing. I'm looking 4-1 against Miami, 4-1 against the Cavs.
Well, think about the two games that they lost to Miami and Cleveland. Those teams shot historically great that night.
But the Heat had, 23
threes? It was the greatest three-point shooting night of their franchise. And same thing with Cleveland.
So my thing being, now you have the Pacers, right?
It's a wake-up call, yeah.
The Pacers had to scrap, man. They had to hold off the Sixers for their spot because the Sixers were coming, breathing down their necks. They've had to fight through every round of this playoffs. They're on kind of, I'd say, I think it's safe to say they're on fire right now, right? They've been playing meaningful games. They're on a bit of a roll. They've got momentum. Are you worried as Celtics fans that because you guys have largely been coasting this whole year, now you're playing a team that is rolling, is hungry, does have some momentum? Is that worrying?
I don't like too much rest, TJ. I don't like too much rest. I think rest leads to complacency. And I feel like when a team like Indiana comes off of a Game 7 win in Madison Square Garden with that momentum that they have, it makes them very dangerous and very angry.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
And I really feel strongly that although the Celtics need the rest for Kristaps and they need him back and he still is going to be out, like we said, two more games, I get really nervous. I expect them to be slightly, they should be amped up coming into game one. They should, but aren't you kind of concerned sometimes get a little soft around the middle?
Yeah, let me know if I'm off on that assessment.
I've been watching this team as constructed. Not really. I mean, with the Jays, you know, since 2018, again, famously, I'm at game 7 and 18 against the Cavs. Where they have a double-digit lead and they blow it because they can't hit a shot. Terry Rozier goes ice cold. They do a lot of dumb things in the playoffs. Jaylen Brown can't make free throws. He can't dribble with his left hand. Tatum just takes fadeaways. Not aggressive. The dude can get any shot he wants at any point. He's a top five player in the league. Be honest with yourself, people. And I just want to see them just go nuts and just play well at home. They struggle at home in the playoffs. It's just really weird, and they do a lot of dumb stuff, and I'm really worried. I'm really worried about playing a Pacer team that's got nothing to lose, massive underdogs. They take out the Knicks the way that they did, and, you know, everyone just saying, oh, this is the easiest path the Celtics have had, the easiest path of any team to make the finals in NBA history with, Giannis out, Embiid out, and the Knicks go down. And there's just so much chatter from above about how easy the path is and how if they don't win it, they're just choke artists. Yeah. 64-win season.
Yeah, Boston. So Boston was 17 games better than and beat three or four times Indiana.
Everybody, we just need to sweep them and get it over with and go to the finals and be like, okay, who's coming?
They're not going
to
sweep, though. You think they're going to sweep? There's no chance they sweep.
They should.
I don't think they will.
There's so much better than Indiana that the series shouldn't be close. It's a 10-point favorite spread tonight. All these games should not be close.
Also, Halliburton, I think he has his, if I'm not mistaken, his lowest points per game against any team is against the Celtics.
Great. That means he's going to have 40 tonight.
You know, it's so funny because in so many ways, that's just an angry East Coast person talking. But there's also a reality to that. I just think oftentimes players like that come in and they play their best games when they're expected to play their worst. I mean, that's a little bit of Murphy's Law.
Right.
And I think he's got this stage. This is what makes the two conference championships so interesting. All of these young guys who want to show I'm next, I got next, I want to be the face of the NBA. And I know that it's not like he's a rookie. It's not like he's Anthony Edwards where he's like a 22-year-old fresh-faced kid.
But it'd be great if Tatum, I'm sick of Anthony Edwards. Yeah. Like, I've been hearing about this guy for 2 weeks. Like, I'm here. I've been first team All-NBA twice. I'm the leader of the Boston Celtics. I've had 51 points in a game 7.
Well, then you better win in 4.
I'm going to show it tonight.
Then you better win in 4.
It'd be great if that happened tonight. To say that I'm expecting it, yeah, no chance.
Don't be insane. You'll have a bucket between your legs. Are you kidding? At 5 o'clock. I don't want to be anywhere near him. I totally agree. And then let's flip to the other conference because obviously that game is on Wednesday. And one of the things that I want to talk to Christopher Russo about and probably Howard Beck as well is this reinvention of Kyrie Irving as the dependent, as the battery mate, you might even say, in Dallas and how he's become Mr. Reliable over there. I mean, this is a guy who kind of reinvents like Madonna.
You know, when that trade, when he went to the Mavs, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday, nobody thought this was going to work. And for a while last year, it looked like it wasn't going to. But these guys have turned this around. And Luka is playing on seemingly like one leg right now. They've got these guys like the Derek Lively coming out of nowhere. Mm. And you know, against the Clippers, they even turned into Lob City a little bit. So they've got some very athletic bigs, Gafford and Lively. And, you know, when you've got Luka and Kyrie to really hold it all together, like this Mavs team, I don't think on paper is very sexy outside of those two. But it's pretty well constructed and they're rolling right now. And we know what the Timberwolves have done. We just really got done watching them pull up maybe the biggest upset in the playoffs. So this series, man, it's going to be exciting because I don't think any of us truly know who's going to come out of this on top. I suspect another 7-game series. And this is going to be fun, man. I'm really, 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 despite the fact that, you know, Dallas took the Clippers out, I'm really looking forward to this series because, Chris, you said superstars. I don't think these guys are superstars yet. I think they're star. Like Luka is a star, and
Luka's not a superstar.
Well, I feel like you become a superstar when you win a championship.
Okay,
that's kind of like I feel like once you reach the top of the mountain, then that makes you
win an MVP, win a championship,
superstar. Okay. Right at this point, they're stars. Like Anthony Edwards is a rising star.
But
that's
you get
fair.
That championship, you reach the top of the mountain. That's what makes you the household name, the worldwide household name. That's what makes you a superstar. And I feel like we're going to crown a new superstar when this is all said and done. And as a basketball fan, you've got to appreciate that. You know, the old regime is out. Let's just be honest. LeBron, Steph, KD.
Yep.
Like their time, if the sands in that hourglass, there's only a few left. It's time to flip it over. Get some new studs, some new kids out there balling, and I think we've got it right now. And it's a great time to be an NBA fan.
Ooh, you got a little Days of Our Lives reference in there too, TJ. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, Christopher Russo joins us here on The Rich Eisen Show. Thrilled to have him on. Let's ask him these questions. We have the perfect first guest for the show, I think, today, because he's a guy without an opinion ever. Christopher Mad Dog Russo joins us ahead right here on The Rich Eisen Show.
Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger's got the right product for you. Just call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Christopher Russo joins us momentarily. We'll be waiting to talk to him. I want to ask him what he thinks about, does it take a championship to crown somebody a superstar? I think it's a really good question, TJ. I mean, I think there's so many guys we want to say are ascendant.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I think you have to win.
Well,
I really think
that
you
means
have
you're
to
just
win.
Calling your own favorite player not a superstar.
That's fine.
Okay.
I mean, Kawhi's my favorite. He's won title. I would say he's a superstar. He's won two. He's won two Finals MVPs. Like, that's a superstar to me. And I just feel like if you were to poll most people, that's how they would feel. I could be wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's just my definition.
Is it regular season MVP or Finals MVP? Because, like, Andre Iguodala, is he a superstar?
No. He's not a super. He wasn't the star. I mean,
Finals MVP and a champion.
He was, but did he step? That was Steph Curry. Like, let's be honest.
Not a Finals MVP.
We all kind of think Steph should have won that MVP. and let's be honest, LeBron should have won MVP that year in a losing effort. Should have been MVP in the finals.
Jerry West situation.
That's what I think. But hey, I'm sure Twitter and people would call tell me if I'm wrong, but I don't know. What do you guys think? Call us. Let's talk about it.
844-204-RICH is the number to call, in fact. And the lines, as Rich would say, are lit, which is so awesome. And we're going to get to all of these. So we have Colts win-loss.
Yeah, we got Colts, Bucks, Rams, Broncos on the line right now.
Yeah, we can try them all.
That's fun.
I mean, I want to empty them all. God, I was almost thinking, should we take one right now before we wait for Chris Russo to join us? Let's take one right now. Let's go with, how about Cody in Indianapolis, Colts win-loss?
Cody.
He's on.
Hey, you on?
Cody,
you there?
We got to go fast.
Hello?
Cody, you with us?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, how are you? We're going to do a rapid fire before Christopher Russo joins us. So you ready to go?
Sounds good.
Let's do it.
Yes, sir.
All right.
I'm sorry. Can I ask for TJ, since I know we're playing the Patriots this year?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to offend you guys.
Loss. Okay, Cody? Loss. All right, TJ, week one.
All right, Code Dog, let's do this.
And we're doing this fast, guys.
Fast.
Colts against Texans. What you got?
I got the Colts.
All right. Week two at the Packers.
Loss.
Week three, hosting the Bears.
Win.
Week four, the Steelers.
I think that's a close one, but I think that's also a W.
Okay. Week five, you're at Jacksonville. Got the Jaguars.
That's never good for us, so that's an L.
Okay. Titans, week six.
Win.
Dolphins, week seven.
Man, they're fast. I think we can compete, but I'm going to go with an L.
Okay. At the Texans, week eight.
This is going to be a bold take, but I think we sweep the Texans.
Ooh.
Bet. All right. Week nine at Minnesota.
Win.
Week 10, Buffalo. Home game.
Loss.
11 at the Jets.
Week 11 at the Jets, Sunday Night Football. I'm actually going to try to go to this game, and I think it's actually going to be an L, unfortunately.
All right, we got to power through these.
Got to cook.
Let's go, Lions, week 12.
Lions, loss.
Patriots, week 13, on the road.
W.
And you got a bye, and then you're at the Broncos.
Win.
Tennessee at home.
Sweep the Titans.
At the Giants.
Win.
And you end up with the Jaguars again.
We always seem to struggle against Jacksonville, so I'll give us an L there.
All right. So
thanks, Cody. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Cody.
Thanks, Cody.
Christopher Russo understands that we have to take care of our callers here on the Rich Eisen Show, and back by popular demand is Christopher Russo. Thank you so much for coming back on. Appreciate your time.
Hello, Susie. How are you today? Things good?
I'm so good. I'm better for you being here. So thanks again. I mean, I really appreciate it as always. Let's get right into it. Does Jason Tatum have the chip? Does he have what it takes to be clutch and lead his team to a championship?
Well, he's got a lot of good players with him. So, I mean, he can maybe have an off day and somebody can pick up the slack. They are the prohibitive favorites. They should beat Indiana. Pacers will play better than Miami and Cleveland did. Probably win a home game, which is what the Heat and the Cavs didn't do. But you got to like the Celtics in six. You know, Minnesota-Dallas is a very hard series. I think that's going right down to a seventh game. You know, Irving and Doncic, I like the offense. But I love Minnesota's defense. Tricky to call. But the Celtics, Sue, should be favored against them with the home court. I would be surprised right now. Now, Denver would have been different. But you have to think the Celtics will win these next two series and probably not have to play a game seven. So, you know, does Tatum have to be great to do that? No. They have his good games. They have the occasional bad one, but they're not playing a dominant team. Steph Curry is not on the other side. They got Porzingis. He's got Jaylen Brown. He's got a lot of players. You know, I would be – they win. He won't necessarily be great. And the Celtics will probably win these next two series without playing a game seven.
Who's got the advantage, though, if you look at Rick Carlisle or Joe Mazzulla? Who's the better coach there?
Carlisle. I mean, Mazzulla, I'm not in love with. They shoot way too many threes. They're sloppy at home. Last year lost to Miami, which was terrible. Carlisle's a big coach. He's won a championship. Now, listen, Indiana, you know, I don't know how to read this win against the Knicks. Give them credit. They played great on Sunday. They shot 76% in the first quarter. I mean, they scored a million points. They played a great game. But the Knicks were unbelievably compromised with injury. So, I mean, it's got to be a little asterisk next to it. But Indiana's done a heck of a job. You know, they've been lucky because obviously no Giannis, and two games were missed with Lillard in the Bucks series, and the Knicks were all banged up. But you know, it's not the Pacers' fault. They go out there and they beat the teams that's in front of them. But Carlisle gets the huge advantage. I mean, big advantage. And Carlisle did a good job, Susie, in that last series, because after game five, he made sure that he told everybody how embarrassed he was with the Knicks' toughness, their loose ball ability, getting all those loose balls and rebounding. And the message got, you know, they heard that message, because in the next two games, they did a very good job in the intangible aspect of the game. Rebounding, loose balls, toughness. The Pacers were good in game six and seven. And Carlisle sent that message after game five. So he gets the big advantage over the Celtic coach in this series.
Christopher Russo joins us here on the Rich Eisen Show. Susie Schuster in for Rich. Who's got more pressure to win on them a championship this year, the Dodgers or the Celtics?
That's a good question. That's a very good question. I would say because Otani is not pitching and they got him for a long period of time and the Celtics are set up and they've won a million championships and they should win, I would probably say Boston. And baseball is very unpredictable in the postseason because the best team always doesn't win, which is why the postseason in baseball is great, because there's no look at the Diamondbacks last year, look at Texas, all those road wins. Boston is the best team. They should win. That's a very good one, Susie. But I'll say the Celtics, based on the idea, you know, that the best team usually wins the series and usually ends up prevailing in the NBA. So I'll say Boston.
As for the Western, I'm intrigued with the Kyrie reinvention. I said to earlier in the show, it's kind of like he's got this Madonna-like ability to reinvent. Now he's Mr. Dependability in Dallas. What do you think about that situation of him and Doncic playing together and kind of Kyrie becoming this Kyrie 3.0?
Yeah, he done a very good job, and he played very well in the second half in Game 6 against Oklahoma City. They're going to need his offense in this next series because you got to remember, you got to figure Doncic and Anthony Edwards are going to cancel each other out. And I think that Minnesota's offense could be a little shaky. You know, they need Anthony Towns and Carl and Naz Reid to make threes. And Kyrie could score 40 any game. So I think that's the Mavericks' advantage in this series is, you know, their offense in the backcourt. I could see Minnesota at times struggling to put the ball in the basket. You know, listen, I'm not a huge Irving fan. But he won a championship for Cleveland with LeBron with that jumper that he made in Game 7, an unbelievably tough shot. He's a great, great player. You know, he's weird, but he's a great player. And he's got a chance here to get to a final after some, you know, uncharacteristic issues in New York where he didn't play with the COVID, no vaccine. They lost with Durant and everything else. He was not good in Brooklyn. He got a second life, as you said, 3-0. He's done a good job, and he's dangerous. He's a great offensive player. He puts the ball in the basket. When you have to put the ball in the basket, you play enough, decent enough on defense. He's a great player, and, you know, give him credit, too. He went to Dallas, and him and Doncic have done a good job of understanding each's role and blending in with one another when they're both kind of alpha males. So he gets credit for that, too. So give him credit. And they got a chance to win that series. I mean, you know, they're a slight underdog. They're a plus 140. Which, you know, no, they're a little more than that. They're plus 165, more than a slight underdog. They're a moderate underdog. I take them. I think that's worth it. Now, you know, taking Dallas at a plus 165, that's going to be a long series. That might be worth it. Give the Mavericks a chance here, a fighting chance against Minnesota.
And then there's the whole world is flat routine, too, as well. But
you can't take him serious. He's nuts. I can't listen to him. The world is flat. That was funny. Doesn't take the vaccine shot. Hurt his team. Missed 29 games. Listen, I wouldn't want to have a dinner conversation with him, but as far as his basketball playing ability, he's a hell of a player.
Who are the players that have driven you nuts the most in your career?
Nuts, like an Irving kind of thing?
I can't even take it.
You know, Marcus Stroman has a lot to say, and I'm not a big fan of him. He's a good pitcher, though. He's a good competitor. That would be one. Boy, who is up and down? You know, the thing that drives you crazy are the players who are up and down. You know, you can't count on them on a game-in, game-out basis. You know, Larry Bird was a trash talker, and he was a tough son of a gun, but you knew what you were getting, and then he delivered, so you liked it. Pippen sometimes drove me crazy. Couldn't score in the fourth quarter of the big game, which always drove me nuts. You know, I don't like players who talk a lot and then can't back it up. That always drives you nuts from that perspective. I don't know if there's anybody in particular who I can think of top of my head who I just can't deal with. Irving is a perfect example. You know, I like to see Durant take ownership of firing all these coaches. Atkinson, Vogel, Nash. If he wanted to keep Vogel, he could have made sure that Vogel stayed. Same with Nash and Atkinson with Brooklyn. That drives me crazy. And the funny thing is, I remember at the time, and I was one of them, 81, when Magic got Westhead fired with the Lakers, everybody killed Magic. And Magic did not back down. He says, you know, I don't want him coaching me. This is not the right coach for this team. And Magic, you know, took it all on himself. They brought Riley in, and they turned out, you know, it was a great relationship. They won all those championships. That if you want to fire somebody, as you know, come out and say it. A lot of these coaches, a lot of these great stars, they don't want to play for a coach, but they don't want blood on their hands when franchises get rid of the coach. You know, look at Platt with LeBron in Cleveland. Look at you know, Vogel in L.A. with LeBron. Now you're throwing Ham. They by their actions and how they play, and by their silence, they tell you they don't want the coach. When in fact, in certain situations, they could keep the coach because obviously a team isn't going to fire a coach who their big star wants to play for. And Magic is one who told everybody, I don't want to play for Westhead. They fired him. They brought Riley in. They won all those championships. So I give Magic credit for that in the long run.
Well, it'll be curious to see who the Lakers bring in then. You took away my follow-up. The minute you were talking about that, I thought, oh, is he talking about Magic or LeBron there? It's kind of funny there. What about Aaron Rodgers?
Listen, LeBron's great. You know, Rodgers is a good one, Susie. I didn't think of him. Rodgers drives you crazy. The problem with Rodgers is Rodgers thinks he's the smartest guy in the room. He's not. Rodgers thinks that I know more about the world than you do. And, you know, here's what I like Rodgers to do. I'm not blaming him last year. That injury is that injury. Here's what I want Rodgers to do. He's won one Super Bowl a long, long time ago and has been very spotty in the big game. He was bad against San Francisco. He was bad against Tampa. Here's what I want Aaron to do. How about Aaron this year? Keep his mouth shut. No hard knocks. Go out there, lead the Jets to 12, 13 wins, and challenge the Chiefs to win it all. How about that? How about Rodgers just do that? Not necessarily go on Pat McAfee every Tuesday to tell us what he thinks about the world. Because quite frankly, I'm not that – well, listen, we're all interested because it's Aaron Rodgers. But I can live if I don't hear Aaron Rodgers for 25 minutes every Tuesday. Here's what I want Rodgers to do. Here's what Jet fans want Rodgers to do. Play the game. Play the games on Sunday and Monday. Play well. Handle the media. And that's enough. That's what I want Rodgers to do. I don't need to hear his world thoughts on, you know, Ukraine, China. I'm not interested. Vaccine. I'm not interested. Play good football in a big game, which he has not done for the Packers in recent year. That's what I want to see done.
What did you think of the Jets schedule when it was released?
It was funny. I'm sure you guys had him too. We had Mike North on. You know, they're on to 6 games in the first 11 weeks of the year. San Francisco and Tennessee on the road to start the year. They got a tough finish with Miami and Buffalo. But there are 6 teams that play 3 games in 10 days, so they're not the only one. If they can get by those first few weeks, you know, look at their last 6-7 games here. Seattle, not impossible. Miami twice. At Jacksonville, the Rams. I mean, it's, you know, listen, they got a pretty hard, you know, come to think of it. But those 2 games before that, they should win in Indiana and Arizona before their bye. Listen, he's a big star. It's New York City. Last year he got hurt when they were on all those games as well, Black Friday and what have you. I think he'd be healthy. I think the Jets would be good. They got a good defense. Big year for Saleh. They got Mike Williams will help them. They got a Breece Hall, good running back. They should win 11 games. Now, the division isn't easy, but because Buffalo and Miami are pretty good, they should win 11, 12 games, Susie, and they should be a big factor in the postseason. Really should be.
You think Caleb Williams comes out and he's the chosen one, or you think he stumbles?
That's a good question, too. He almost at times creates his own chaos, turns the ball over a lot, runs a little too much. I remember some scenario when he was at Oklahoma against Oklahoma State, things they didn't love. But then other times you see him, he plays great. I would not be, and the USC quarterback has not been great. You know, Pat Hayden wasn't great. Leinart wasn't great. Carson Palmer wasn't great. Sanchez wasn't great. The USC quarterback has really not been that great in the NFL. I think that you got to figure he's going to be pretty good. I mean, all 3 of those quarterbacks, there's no guarantee. You know, they should be, you know, everybody, there's a lot to like about all 3 of them. I love Penix the best because I saw Penix with that team win a lot of games despite the Michigan when he wasn't great. I'm a big Penix fan, and I think Atlanta did the right thing. That's me. But, you know, listen, Williams will give us a little juice. The Bears are set up. They got a good running back. Swift's good. They got receivers. They got a feisty little nasty defense. Division isn't impossible. If not now, when, as far as the Bears go?
Christopher Russo now, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's ask a couple baseball questions in here. I remember when it seemed like Scott Boras had, you know, magic fingers, and every time he picked up the phone to call, all the GMs would freak out. And last year, it didn't seem like he was as successful as he was before. So what do you think that means for the Yankees and Juan Soto? Will he sign before he gets to free agency, or will it go the distance?
Well, you know, last year, what Scott did, he tried to get great money for good players. And he's great with the great player. But, you know, Bellinger, Chapman, Snell, these guys are not great players. Jordan Montgomery, they're good, but they're not great. And he wanted big money, and he wasn't going to get it for guys who are just not great. Now, Soto's great. He's an all-timer. He'll get a fortune for him. But if I was Soto, and he's already, you know, thrown out the olive branch to Hal Steinbrenner and everything else that, you know, the Yankees in right field, he loves it here, what have you. So maybe they get something together. Where is he going to go? The Dodgers aren't going to sign him. You know, where is he going to go where he's in a situation where he can win every year with a passionate fan base making $500 million? He can go to the Cubs, but they're not going to win every year. The Red Sox don't win every year. Cohen's owned the Mets for 5 years. They've won one playoff game. Where could he go where he knows on a year-to-year basis he's got a chance to be in a World Series? There's only one team.
That's it.
The Yankees, too. The Yankees and Dodgers. The Orioles aren't going to sign him. The Braves are not going to go in this direction, and the Phillies don't need him. So there's only one other team. It's L.A., and I don't think they're going to sign him. He can go, you know, show his wares to the Cubs, the Giants, Seattle, a team that has a lot of money that needs a big star, fine. But you don't guarantee that you can win it every year. With the Yankees, every year they're in the playoffs. Every year, you know, last year notwithstanding. But for the most part, 99% of the time, every year they're in the postseason. So if you're Soto, you'd be silly to close the door on New York. That's where you should be. They can pay you $450 million. The ballpark suits you, passionate fan base, big cities don't bother them. They get $45,000 a game, and they got a chance to win a championship every single season. It makes perfect sense. I think that at the end of the day, that is where he will be. I think the question is, since he doesn't normally do this, could they have a deal done via before free agency? That's the question. Will Boris go to free agency just because that's what he usually does to establish a quote-unquote market? Or will Boris realize, you know what, it's the Yankees. They're offering us this. They got Judge, Cole. We got a big-time team. They're going to give us plenty. Maybe we can get an extra couple of dollars somewhere else, but we're going to get plenty. He's happy here. The fans like him. If they're smart, that's what they'll do. So we shall see.
See, that's it. I mean, there's really no place else to go. They've created some kind of crazy super team out here in L.A. And I mean, I would think that they, if they don't win this year, like, what was the whole point of bringing this together?
Yeah, well, Ohtani hasn't pitched, and that's the Dodger excuse. They're going to say, well, we didn't have Ohtani in the mound. And again, right now, Susie, there are five teams. It's like the Premier League in soccer. There are five teams that can win it at the moment. I mean, I know baseball is unpredictable, so you never know. Look at Arizona. But Phillies, Yankees, Orioles, Dodgers, Atlanta. Those are your five teams. Everybody else is, you know, is okay. Guardians, Cubs, Brewers. I mean, Arizona, the Giants, even Seattle, Texas, and the Astros. The five teams right there are the best teams. I would think one of those five will win a championship. And if you're Soto, you can go to the Cubs. They have plenty of money. They need a big star. Wrigley Field, great place to play. The Red Sox would always be in play. You can think about that, too. The Mets, Cohen's got more money than anybody, and they're a bad team. I would not be surprised. But why would you do that when you know the Yankees are going to pay you this,
yep,
and you got a chance every year? So you'd stay with the Yankees. The Dodgers situation, you know, they're going to have some pressure on them in the postseason. Because they haven't won since 88. Let's throw the pandemic aside for a second. They haven't won since 88. They have an incredibly large payroll. The last 2 years, they got ambushed in a divisional round. It's a, you know, now they don't have Ohtani pitching, and that's the excuse they give you if they lose. But there'll be pressure on the Dodgers in October, and they have not handled that well the last couple of years. Let's see how they handle it this year.
Yeah, we need Soto to sign to keep Rich from assuming the fetal position. Thanks again for your time. I love having you on. I really appreciate it.
Susie, we love you. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it today.
Thanks so much, Christopher. That's Christopher Russo right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Let's take a break. When we come back, it's more win-loss, people. More win-loss. The phone lines are lit.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Ready, set, griddle this grilling season. Get the Weber Slate rust-resistant griddle with a carbon steel cooktop that's safe for metal tools. It's pre-seasoned, ready to cook right on top of the box. It's the griddle that stays ready, not rusty. This griddle heats evenly edge to edge. It'll reach up to 500 degrees. The Weber Works Prep Cook and Store system keeps cooking supplies handy, which is great because Rich is the barbecuer in our family, and he's constantly asking me where everything is, and it's in the drawer. He just has to look. Just look, Rich.
Just look.
Just look. It's just in the drawer. Look. It's right next to the Tupperware that Chris Brockman stole in return and gave to make his as a present. Ooh. You can carry all the food, condiments, and utensils that you need. Get fired up for your new Weber Slate rust-resistant griddle. I am psyched to use this. I cannot wait. We're barbecuing this weekend here at our house. Memorial Day weekend. You're all invited. Come stop by.
You're all invited.
You're all invited. Come on by. Come on by. Yeah, we're all invited. Come on. Rich will get out the Weber Slate griddle. I'm excited for it. TJ, come on by. Monday,
perhaps.
Yeah, come on by. Come, you know. Leave your house. See what happens.
You know, I got so many invites to go here. I know. Be there.
But I'll feed you really, really well. You know. Burgers on the grill. I'm just saying.
Ooh, sounds delicious.
I will not drive you there. You can drive yourself. Guys, they're all my case. I'm in the chair, guys. Back off. I'm a great driver. That's the 17th time I've said it today. Because I one time drove here with my foot on a dashboard, they're wondering if I'm a good driver or not.
Well, that's what your husband, your husband always says, that, you know, he gets nervous when he's in the car. Like, my favorite thing would be when you guys would drive here together, like this picture says. I mean, look, you got one hand on the wheel, so that's...
I do look insane in this picture.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I know.
You can do that.
One hand at 9:30. Like, come on now.
Nothing that,
what are we doing?
Perfect,
I'm having a delicious coffee.
You're going to teach your kids how to drive like that?
Actually, Cooper was like, well, Mom, maybe Thubba will teach me how to drive. I was like, what are you talking about? For those of you watching on Roku, and you guys were just watching on Roku in all hours and keep watching and it repeats all day, Chris Berman was talking about nicknames. You know, I had a nickname in Bristol.
From Berman? Mm-hmm. Nice.
You want to take a guess?
I don't. Nothing will be appropriate. So why don't you just tell us?
All inappropriate. By the way,
is it appropriate,
I could write
not appropriate?
A book, and I won't.
Susie, Simon, and Schuster.
Close. Want to take a guess?
No, I'm not going to guess.
Susie, don't step on my blue suede Schuster. What?
That's a good one.
All right.
I bring that up because Mike Tirico will join Amy Trask and me on What the Football today. You'll get to see that wherever you get your podcast, on the Rich Eisen Show YouTube, what have you, because we will go down a little bit of ESPN history there with Mikey Tirico. Excited about that as well. Yeah, that's but great. Susie, don't step on my blue suede Schuster. What?
Don't we all have Berman nicknames, right? Like he gave me TJ moving on up Jefferson.
That's right.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, I've got stories about ESPN, and none of them are appropriate for television. Much more Rich Eisen Show when we come back.
Wait, Mikey, did you get one?
Mikey, I don't remember what it was. I remember he gave me one in Houston. He did it. He did it to all of us in Houston.
Yeah.
What was yours, Brockman Turner?
Brockman Turner Overdrive.
Okay.
Those are nicknames, man. When we were kids watching that, that was just...
It was great, and like Chris said in the clip, you know, maybe I'll throw that up on Twitter, but it's 2:30 in the morning. They're doing the late, late show. It's like he's trying to entertain himself and stay awake.
Right.
You know?
They were great.
I mean, you guys, doing those shows, I only did 1-2 a.m. the entire time I was there. Mm. I was treated with kid gloves. I don't know why, but it was great. I never had to do the really crappy stuff, like the 2 a.m. show, but the one time I did it, I did one RPM tonight, and I did one...
Two night,
and I did one overnight. And I just thought to myself, TV is not worth it for this.
And you're making like 12K, probably?
I made less than 12K. I think I made about 24 I think I went into ESPN at 24, and the PAs below me were angry about it. I was like, I come from a news background. Whatever.
No, like, I went to the Ivy League.
By the way, we need
matter.
We need Berman back to give out nicknames, because nowadays guys' nicknames aren't nicknames. Like, Ant Man is not a
nickname. It's literally just a short
name. Cool. It's
not cute.
It's not cute.
We need Berman
to get
nicknames.
All right, fine. I'll get him back in next time I'm in the chair.
All right. You know?
All you have to do is ask, TJ.
Well, I'm putting in my request now.
Okay. I am picking up what you're putting down. A lot more Rich Eisen Show when we come back. 2 hours ahead, 2 hours to go.
John brings his skewed sense of humor. Jeff brings tips to cut strokes off your next round. Together, it's those weekend golf guys.
They'll pay a lot of money to PXG and Titleist and Callaway and on and on and on, right? How many yards do you think you're going to pick up with that extra driver? I think I can get an extra 5 to 10. What if I give you 15 to 20? Can you pay me more?
Jeff Smith teaches on the sliding scale.
Those Weekend Golf Guys, the podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.